I was born and raised in a Muslim family. My parents are very devout Muslims. I spent the first 19 years of my life being around them, and we were encouraged to practice Islam. So like most of kids my own age, I tried to do the prayers, to learn all the phrases in Arabic. We studied the Quran for the 3 years of high school. We were taught to revere God, Allah, and we grew up believing that there is only one God and He is the Creator. You get to heaven by your good deeds. However, you don't know how much good deeds you have to do to get there. You're constantly questioning what's going to happen when you get to the other side. But as a young man, I wasn't so much concerned about heaven and hell at the time, because young people don't think about dying very much. However, you do think about this God who we're raised to feel that if you're happy, He will sure find you and make you unhappy. So you have to live in such a way not to provoke Him to anger. So you live in a constant fear of don't laugh too much, because He will make sure that He will stabilize you. And if you're sad, He'll make you happy. But mostly it's sadness that covers that part of my life that I remember, that being sad was a good thing. It's being happy that you started to question whether God was going to get you or not. Although it's unusual for a Muslim to pray directly to God, I would ask Him every night to make me angrier and that help me not to ever smile or laugh. Muslim families are very close-knit. Leaving your family is not an easy thing to do. So when I had to leave my family to go to school, that period of my life became the hardest time of my life. Education brings honor. The higher your education, the more honorable you are. And that's why majority of Muslim families you know have their kids in college, or they're insisting that they'll go to college. You have to have a degree pasted on the wall somewhere. I wanted to become an engineer. So when I left my parents, I went to college, and I wasn't doing well. My grades were very bad. As hard as I studied, I could not live up to the standard that the culture had made for me. Not my parents, but the culture. My poor parents really didn't care as long as I was happy, but I had put that upon myself. And the first 2 years being away from them was very, very hard time, to the point that because we come from shame-based culture, anything that creates shame needs to be removed so the honor can be restored. That's why you see parents killing their own children who have done something wrong, because they've brought dishonor on the family, so now they have to restore it by removing that which has created the dishonor. I was creating a dishonor for my family with my bad grades, and I hated myself, and I wanted to kill myself. I came to the point of the thought of dying was the most soothing thought I had. Very depressed and suicidal. I was too chicken to put a gun to my head or do something crazy, but if someone was to do that for me, I would have been very happy. Right around this time, I ran into a group of people who were very much different than everyone else I had met up to that point of my life. There are two things I always wanted: peace and joy. It wasn't so much that the lifestyle was very radical than everyone else, but it was something that would emanate, that would just come out of them. And when I asked them, when I approached them, why is it that you're different than the rest of the people that I know? They said, it's because we have decided to follow Jesus Christ. Well, that was a very offensive answer to me, because as a Muslim, how can a second-class prophet give you that peace of joy when my last religion and Allah and the Quran and Muhammad cannot give me that peace? So I began to argue with them. But they never argued back with me. What they did instead, they loved me. They didn't know much about my background, so they allowed me to hang around with them. And I remember, as long as I was with them, I could feel the peace that was among them. But I would go home crying. This went on for a while, and until one of them invited me to their house one night for dinner. I had bought myself a motorcycle by that time, thinking that maybe I'll run into an accident and kill myself, and they wouldn't think that I deliberately did that. So I rode my bike for about 2 hours to get to that place, and when we sat down to eat, the father of the house blessed the food, prayed over the meal. I had never heard people pray. I don't even remember what he prayed, but it was that prayer that touched my heart. So after months of arguing with these people, on the way home, as I'm riding my motorcycle 80, 90 miles an hour, I began to have a conversation with God. Now, which God do you think I was conversing with? Of course, it was Allah. That was the only God I knew. And this is what I said. I said, God, I'm a Muslim, and I'm on the verge of wanting to kill myself. I know nothing about Christianity. I know nothing about Christ. In fact, everything I knew as a Muslim about Jesus was exactly the opposite of what these people believed. He wasn't divine. He never died on the cross. He wasn't the Son of God. So I said, Jesus, if you're really who these people tell me you are, please understand, I know nothing about Christianity. If you're really who these people tell me you are, I will accept you. I wanted him to remove my shame, and good grades would bring me honor. That's what I wanted them to do. I had no idea about Christian theology. I just knew if anyone could get me out of the mess I was in, it would be Jesus. And this was the extent of my prayer and the knowledge I had of him. I find it interesting that I prayed to Allah and Jesus came up. The next day when I went to school and asked a friend, how does one become a Christian? He said, all you need to do is to invite Christ into your heart. I said, I did that yesterday. What else do I need to do? As imperfect as my communication with God was, I believe he met me where I was. Once I decided to follow Jesus, the next step was to learn more about him, which was reading the Bible. So I began to read the Bible. Many of the phrases, many of the stories were strange to me. Nevertheless, I was very much intrigued by who Jesus was. I'm so glad in a way that no one tried to put words in my mouth. No one told me what to do. It was all by the direction of God through Jesus, what I was supposed to do next. So I came to the conclusion that I needed to get baptized. So a few months after I had become a believer, I got baptized. As I got to know Jesus, I realized good grades were not that important anymore. One night as I was lying down on bed, I had just finished about Jesus walking on water. I began to think about my future, and I heard a voice saying, son, don't you think that the man who walks on water can also take care of your grades? Now I had hope. Now I had the peace and the joy that my friends had. Now I knew I could deal with the problems that were facing me. I knew that although my problems were real, that Jesus was able to walk me through it. It wasn't so much that he was going to solve all my problems, but he was going to be standing there with me. I didn't have to solve and face these problems by myself. I used to have an ulcer, and once I began to follow Christ, gradually, because that power of shame was lifted, because the weight on my back, that yoke, was taken away by Jesus, then eventually, my stress went away, and the pain of ulcer went away, and God healed me. But it's a process, and the more I got to know him, the greater the peace got. To the point today that I realize life is full of problems, but I have hope that I'm not facing it alone, and if I never have an answer, I still trust that God is in charge. That he is not taking it out on me, and he is not trying to punish me for something, but in fact, he is with me to help me face the problems of life. I was flying from Syria to Lebanon. I sat next to an Arab gentleman, and we began to converse. He was a Muslim, and I told him about what a friend of mine had told me in Jordan. This is the story that my friend told me. He said his next door neighbor shot his own sister on the street 7 times during the day with everyone witnessing it, and he waited until the police showed up, gave him his gun, and they let him go. because it was honor killing. His sister was caught in adultery, and he had to remove that which had brought shame to the family. By killing her, he had restored the honor. And I asked the Arab gentleman sitting next to me, I said, do you think the man did the right thing? And he said, oh, by God, yes, of course. I would have done the same thing myself. I said, have you ever done anything to bring shame on God? He thought a little bit, and being an honest man that he was, he said, yes, I have. I said, do you think God should destroy you to restore the honor to himself again? He said, yes. If it wasn't because of his mercy, yes, he should. I said, is it possible for him to put your shame on someone else and destroy him to bring his honor back? He thought a little bit. He said, it's a possibility. I said, what if he did that with Jesus on the cross? That was just a question. I did not expect an answer from him. I think one of the things that my friends have to realize, again, this is a process. What our job is to share the good news of Jesus with people. It is God's job to take that seed and cause it to germinate in their lives. I think my suggestion to my Muslim friends, the same thing. Give Jesus a chance. I would like you to ask yourself, who's going to remove the shame that I'm dealing with in my life? Jesus died on the cross so he can remove you from the place of shame to a position of honor, so that you can have the honor that God would like you to have with him.